be that. I do want to say this is the only forum, even though it's not the whole city, but the royal welcome that we've had back in Manchester has been something outstanding and really encouraging for us. Very nice. We've been away a very long time, and it's really nice that we've been welcomed back. All my sorrow are on a boat, and all my notes are on a boat, so this is kind of starting from scratch, perhaps a little bit of a different style from what we've said before. But the theme is something that was mentioned once by Rupert Frank Waxman. You've got three people who go for a walk in the countryside, and it's a beautiful woodland scene. There's a lake, there are ducks and swans on the lake, there's deer by the side of the lake, I don't know about kangaroos, but there's a little waterfall trickling. It's absolutely beautiful. And one of the guys says, what a beautiful welcome you live in. And the next guy says, Mo Rabu Ma Secho Hashem. And the third one says, you know what, if I build a hotel here, I'll make a killing. So he says, they're all looking at the same scene. One of them has plain glasses. One of them has Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Somid written inside his glasses. And the third one has dollar signs written inside his glasses. And really, I think what I want to spend the next half hour or so saying is that we actually all need four pairs of glasses, and we need to decide which ones to wear, depending on what's going on. And it starts at Parshas Nitzavim and leads to Rosh Hashanah. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, just before his death, says, you're all standing here today before Hashem. Le'ovrach ha'bris, to make another bris. This is the bris of Arvus, of collective responsibility. Who's there? Roshechem Shiftechem, the leaders of the Shvatim. Ziknechem V'shoitrechem, the Talmid HaChachamim. Kol Yish Yisrael, the adults, Tavchem, and the children. The Ne'orachem already asked, but I'm going to tell you the Netziv. And I'm not going to say exactly what the Netziv says, I'm going to take it a little bit differently. If it says Kulchem, why do you need to list out who's there? Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, Le'ovrachom Ivris. Why do you have to say these ones and those ones? So really what the Netziv says is that it's a sort of bullet point thing. That Moshe Rabbeinu is dividing Klal Yisrael into four groups of people. You're all here. Group one, Roshechem Shiftechem, leaders of groups of people. Group two, Ziknechem Shoitrechem, Bnei Torah, people who are Yoshvim Yomam V'Laylo Al HaTorah V'Al HaAvoda. Group three, Kol Yish Yisrael, adults. And group four, Tavchem, children. And the bris requires different things from each of those four groups. And he tells it soon to a famous pasuk near the end of Parshas Ekev, with a Gemara that he asks a question on that we should have all asked. Here's again Moshe Rabbeinu talking, V'ato Yisrael, and now Kelal Yisrael. Ato doesn't really mean now, it means kind of no. Right? Mo Hashem Elokech Shoyel Mimach. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoyel from you? Rabbi Hirsch, by the way, says that except in Parshas Mishpatim, in Kol HaTorah Kula, Shoyel means demand, not ask. Okay, either way. Kiim Le'yero As Hashem Elokech. Only to have Yirah Shemayim. And everyone remembers the Gemara. What says it is so easy to be Yirah Shemayim. It's not easy. For us, it's not easy. I speak for myself. Elamai says the Gemara, but for Moshe Rabbeinu it was easy. A, it doesn't really answer the question. But B, if you look so necessary, there's a shopping list. Kiyim, le'yirah es Hashem elekecho, tzufi Hashem. Lo leches v'kon drucho, v'la'avo zoi, v'la'avo des Hashem elekecho, v'kon levofcho, v'nafshecho. To go in all his ways, to love him and serve him with all your heart and all your nefesh. Lishmar as mitzvos Hashem is because of Hashem mitzvot. And to keep all the mitzvos, the Torah, and it'll be good for you. So the Gemara's question is it doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't say only Yirah Shemayim. There's a whole great list there. And of course, it makes the question more difficult. And then Sif says the same thing there, that there are bullet points. Moshe Rabbeinu says, from you, Hashem requires things in four groups. From the leaders of Yidden, the first group over there at the beginning of our parashah, all that's required is Yirah Shemayim. They haven't got time to spend 3 days choosing an Esrog. They haven't got time to spend 11 hours working on a Ketzos. They're too busy leading Klal Yisrael, doing their work as leaders of men. But what's required of them is one thing only, that all the decisions they make in the position as leaders is based on Yirah Shemayim. And when the Gemara says, L'gabi Moshe Rabbeinu Milsa Zutrasa, that it's the Moshe Rabbeinu's eating, what it means is, if you don't think that you can step up to that, you must not be a leader. If you don't think that you, in your position as leader, will be able to make sure that when you're functioning as a leader, your decisions are founded on Yiras Shamayim, don't do it. Be a Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak. What's the second group? Talmid HaChachomim, people who are Yoshvim al HaTorah al HaAvoda, they have the heaviest burden. La'avos Hashem, la'lechet v'kod rochov, la'avos v'kod avoid, all that stuff. They're doing that for all of us. What's the third group? Adults. People who are living in that in the storm of daily life. So for them, again, only one thing is required. There's a famous book. I don't think you can buy it on Amazon. But it's a book that sold many copies. It's a book they have to take them with them everywhere they go. It's called Shulchan Aruch. The Kedushas Levi says, when the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, this is a mission that's around great passion. Yofer Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz. What it means is when you're going about your Derech Eretz, you're going about your normal life, like everybody else. You're going shopping, you're doing work, you're making phone calls. You have to take the Torah with you, the Shulchan Aruch with you. You have to make sure that you don't judge ribbons. You have to make sure you're not. There's all sorts of things that you have to do. So from the adults is required simply obedience to Shulchan Aruch. What about the tough? What about the children? So here's where I'm going to take a different tack from the Nitziv. I don't actually remember what the Nitziv says. Latoivloch means, I think, what are kids? Kids love fun. We have to show them that Latoivloch, that keeping Torah is good for them, is fun. Tamuru ki toiv Hashem. So the bris of Arvus requires of each of those four groups something different. And that's listed out here in the famous Pesukim in Parashat Ekev. And I once suggested, and I saw it later in the writings of the Nitziv Targum, that we can take this a step further. Because in our week, every one of us, there's moments when we're acting as leaders, moments where we're acting as B'nai Torah, moments when we're acting as adults, and moments when we're acting as children. However old you are, the spark of fun-loving of a child, you must never let it go, otherwise you'd just be miserable. And it's that spark of fun-loving that stimulates people to be busy, to do things. And in fact, the Nitziv said it. I was once inadvertently guilty of a Geneva Stas. I was at a chasna, it was quite near the beginning. I was sitting at the table, and I saw the Mechun coming, so I went out to say Mazel Tov. When I came back, the people around the table said, oh God, like you're such a tzaddik. They just about started speaking to me in Lashon Hara about somebody, which I hadn't even noticed. And they thought I was walking away to make a macho about it, which I thought was quite cute. But we can be just among a group of people, and the conversation's going a way we feel comfortable, and we steer the conversation. At that moment, we're acting as a leader. And there's moments in our day, if we're busy in an office or on the road or whatever it is all day, and we sit down to learn with full focus, at that moment, we're being the B'nai Torah. And during our day, we're being adults. And there's moments and times when we need to be children. So we need to have four pairs of glasses. There's a pair of glasses that have to be about Yiras Shamayim. So those we need to be wearing and looking at the situation when we're functioning as leaders. There's moments when the glasses have to be literally Shivisi Hashem Lenegi Summit, binding us, body and soul, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's glasses that need to say, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? And there's glasses that need to say, you know, be a kid, have fun, be open. And we need to just decide which of those glasses to wear at each moment. You know, Rav Volber writes, in the 19th century, Klal Yisrael needed Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Hasporus down to create a Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And the overspill gave the world psychology. It's just a theme he has about many things that happen if you like what is. And if you look in the writings, there was a psychologist in the 20th century who speaks about people being partly parent, partly adult. But it's the same half deal. It's exactly the same thing. So he got the overspill. He got the overspill of that. And the key to success is to be a little bit alert as to which person I need to be just at this moment, which pair of glasses do I need to be wearing in this situation. Because if you wear the wrong glasses, you'll react, you'll deal with it the wrong way. So you have to kind of be alert to what's going on and make a judgment as to which of those, and could be possibly combinations I get, I should be wearing at that moment. Atkan, as I say, the tziv with the variation at the end. The Hasidic Svarim say, The third word of this parasha, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim, is a remes Rosh Hashanah. I think Parashat Nitzavim is always the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, whatever, however the Noach works, I think. And we could simply say, you know, Rosh Hashanah is a day of the renewal of our bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's true, but maybe it's more superficial than we need to look at. Superficial things aren't wrong, they're just superficial. What it means is, it's okay, it's right, but we can go further, we can see deeper, we can understand more. And I'm going to try and take you on a little bit of a way along that journey. I want to go back to the very beginning. This is a medrash in Parshas Emor in the Pesukim about Rosh Hashanah, but I believe it's in Pesukim of Avkanan and the Yakov itself in other places as well. Tani b'shem Rebbe Elezer, v'yesrim b'chamisha ve'el nivra ha'olam. The world was created on the 25th of Eli. You remember Machlokes Tanaim in Shabbos. All the psukim that we say, it's all here in the medrash. So nimseis atvaimer v'yom Rosh Hashanah, that on the first of Tishri, that was the sixth day, that was the day when mankind was created. B'shar rishoina olav amachsholam. The concept of Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the first hour of that first Friday, which was the first of Tishri. I'm not getting drawn into what does Olam Machshava mean. There's far more on the shir about it, but it needs a lot of preparation. The second hour he discussed with the Malachim. Third hour he collected, you remember Rashi says, a bit of dust from all the different places in the world. The fourth hour he kind of mixed the dust to make it, presumably with some food on that. The sixth hour was when Adam was made into a body. All the materials were assembled into a human form. Bashviyes nofach by neshama. I think it's very significant, isn't it? That the concept of seven being Kedusha didn't start with Shabbos, it started on that Friday. Because it was the seventh hour of the day when a dead body became a human being with a human neshama. That's when Kedusha was brought into the world. Okay, in the 10th hour of that Friday afternoon, he did this avera, which we'll need to look at. In the 11th hour, he was judged. The 12th hour, that means just before Shabbos, he left Gan Eden b'dimus. And what does Demos mean? It's a Greek word. It means Shelischanein Bedin. He was happy with the judgment that had been placed upon him. I can't feel that they all talk about it. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Adam, Zeh Simin Levonecha, Keshem She'omad Zolav Befonai Badin, Hayom Zeh, just like you today stood in Din, V'yotzosu B'Demos, and you went resolved, Shelischanein Bedin, that you would come comfortable with the Din. Kach Asidu B'Necha L'Adam Befonai B'Yom Zeh, and that's what this pasuk means. By chodesh avi, that's not a chodesh. What was the avera? It was three averas. It's wrong one. Three. Listen to what Hashem says. Ki shomato l'kodesh techo. That's the first avera. Listen to your wife. I'm not going to be flippant here, but he failed in his role as the leader of the human race. It was his job to make the judgments and take the leadership role, and he listened to someone else. So as a leader at that moment, that was the first mistake. Second mistake, Vatoy Chomin Ha'etz. In Shulchan Aruch it said, one mitzvah only, don't eat that. And you went against Shulchan Aruch, that was an adult. What was his third avera? The third avera in the history of mankind was not the murder of Hevel, that was the fourth. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Hamin Ho'etz, did you eat? And what did he say? It's your fault, you were the Shadchan. What does Rashi say? I think this is the pithiest of all the pithy Rashi's, three words. Kan, Kofa, Betoiva. He was hungry. The Van Cotler told my Rosh Koidel once, the Tzaddik Kotler, Gan Eden wasn't locked for eating the food. There's a way back from every Avera. But if you're ungrateful, the gates of Gan Eden are shut. For being ungrateful, the gates of Gan Eden are shut. But what's this? It's shifting responsibility, isn't it? That's a child. So three out of the four aspects of his personality dropped up here. He should have taken leadership and not listened to what somebody else said. He shouldn't have eaten the fruit because that was adult. And as a child, he tried to shift the blame, which we all do. That bit of being a child, none of us ever get rid of. It's always a struggle to accept the responsibility rather than shift the blame. So what about the fourth element, the Ben Torah element? It didn't seem to be involved here, and I want to say to see a little bit more about that. And I can see I'm not going to finish what I had to say because we're halfway through it. I'm on page 1 out of 3. When I was in Getzit Yeshiva, Reb Shimon Schwab Zatzal, the brother of the Mashgiach, came to speak once. And he spoke about the fact that the Chet HaKadmon infected all aspects of our life, even mitzvahs. That's the famous groin in the Megillas Rus, that if you want to do a mitzvah, it's a bad sign. Except the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is like a mikveh. Talmud Torah wasn't. That's why the Gemara says, Lord, Yimat Odom, Memokah Shilu Mechobot. If you want to learn something, that's what you should learn. If you want to do a mitzvah, it's probably not the right mitzvah to do at that moment. If you want to learn something, that's because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and that's klapa, that's matching with this. But there is work for us to do at this time of year in all four areas. In all four areas, we have to spend Elul reassessing whether we've taken our leadership role, leadership of ourselves, leadership of our family, leadership of our wider circle, whether we've acted effectively and promoted by Yiras Shamayim. We have to assess, as B'nai Torah, the moments of our day, of our week, when we're engrossed in our avodas Hashem, tefillah, Torah, whatever it is, have we been fully engrossed, or have we, you know, part of our brain be on the side somewhere? We have to assess ourselves. Have we been shomer mitzvahs? It's hard. It's not easy. It's hard. And we have to look at the child side. So I need to try and explain the Ben Torah bit of it. Where does it come in? And I think it goes like this. Yes, Talmud Torah was untouched by the Chet HaKadmon. But there's a prerequisite to accessing the Talmud Torah. And that's a medrash at the beginning of Ayikra and a ton of the Beit Yoh. Because when the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked off Gan Eden, and he put this malach with la'at acherev, lishmoyres derech Eitz HaChaim, to guard the road to the Eitz HaChaim. So the Tanya Beit Yoh says, Eitz HaChaim hi lamachzikim bo. Eitz HaChaim is a remez to Torah. And there's a road that leads to Torah. And Matisyo once said at a Torah Masorah convention, you can eat from the Eitz HaChaim. You can eat as much as you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to. Eitz HaChaim hi lamachzikim bo. If you learn Torah with the right glasses on. But what's the road? You've got to go along the road to get there. The road is Dechert. The road is being mentioned. That's the Derech. And that's where this aphorism, Derech Eretz Kodmo La Torah, first comes from. Because a behemah can't learn Torah. When I mentioned he thinks like a behemah, he can't learn Torah. There's a journey from behemah to human being and on, and it never stops. And that's the road to being able to access the fruits of the Eitz HaChaim. So in a way, the Torah side of it is more of a challenge because it's beforehand. The other three elements, at the time, we need to look, what are we wearing? With Torah, first you have to say, am I a mensch? Am I enough of a mensch? How can I be more of a mensch? Because that's what will bring you to being able to eat from the Eitzah HaChaim of Torah. Now, when I was much younger than I am now, I noticed over the 7 or so years we've been away, everybody except me has got a little bit older. But when I was in Gezer Yeshiva, I was much more confident in myself than I am now. And perhaps that's normal for 16, 17 year olds, I don't. And I regret a number of things that I said and did at that stage, including once having a big argument with Rosh Yeshiva about Pshat in something. But needless to say, he was right. But even if he hadn't been right, it was wrong how I did it. But one thing got me then, and it still gets me, which is people say Musa Droshes, and they say you have to work on yourself. What does it mean? How do you do it? I still don't know. I actually think it's a silly thing to say, work on yourself. I have no idea what it means. And we all know how difficult change is anyway, but I'm going to try and give you a little bit of a way in somehow. We all know that there's two sides to Rosh Hashanah. There's the Amos Hadin, there's the sort of negative side, you know, Umalochim Yechofezun. And then there's the positive side, Achtoras HaMelech. Yeah, there's Truas of Malchus. Hashem Elokov Imoy Utruas Melech. Boy, there's the acclamation, the reaffirmation of our special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you think about it, it's not just Rosh Hashanah. On a very superficial level, there are two sides to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im Kavonim, Im Ka'avodim. That's it. As Bonim, it's a close, positive, warm relationship that makes demands, but in a positive way. And as Avodim, it's iron. It's just, you simply have to do what you're told, and if you don't, you'll get bumped. I have a theory, which I'd like to run past you. There are two words for people who are in charge. There's Melech and there's Moshe. Okay, what does the word Moshe mean? Almost all words with Shin Lamadin are about something moving away. Sholach is to send something away. Lashlich is to throw something down. Sholol is when you take away possessions from your enemy in war. Ki Yishal Zeisecho in last week's Pasha means that olives fall away from the tree. Venoshal Habarzel means that either the axe falls off or whatever. Sholach Ishnal, that's where the word slip comes from, is you slip off your shoe. Sholach, right? So almost all Shin Lamed words mean remove. And a mem at the beginning is what's called pod yetzim. It's when you do it to someone else. A moishel is somebody who removes power and freedom from other people. It's a tyrant. And a melech is someone who shows people which way to go, lech. He enables them to go. So a melech is a king who guides and leads. And a moishel is a tyrant, is a dictator. Ki lashem hamelucho. Moshe Abagoyim, though that's not very politically correct, is it? So perhaps we better not translate it. So trying to tie all the bits together, perhaps. My role as a leader is a melech role. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from me is he's being my melech, and he wants me to be sort of a representative, at Tzelem Elokim, a representative of him on this earth. But the adult bit is much more a Moishel type thing, isn't it? Much more about simply, this is what it says in the book, this is what you have to do. And we have to kind of tie together those two. And as I say, it's really all about which glasses we're choosing to wear, making sure we're choosing to wear the right glasses. Child, if I have a chisaron, a problem in my role as a child, the question is, what's the problem? If the problem is that I'm being manipulative in my own interests, as children are, and many adults are too, then that's a Moishel problem, isn't it? If my problem is I'm just simply being lazy and too fun-loving, then that's a Melech problem. So it really is about a little bit of looking in the mirror. A little bit, not too much, because in the school in Melbourne, they made a farewell thing for me. I didn't really want them to, but in the end, I let them because there was something I wanted to say to them, which I didn't dare say till just before I left. And I said to them that Kelm was a place where there was pure, blunt, unvarnished truth. I don't think I could have survived for 10 seconds in Kelm. I once had an opportunity to go and see the Stapligorn and I didn't take it. I was too scared that he would unmask me. But there's enough of the spirit of Kelm in me to admire it and to wish that I could handle it. Most of us can't really look in the mirror with plain glasses. But step one in preparing for Rosh Hashanah is a bit of self-awareness in these four aspects of our personality. Step one is self-awareness. And then kind of identifying, in each of those areas, am I wearing the right glasses at the right time? And what can I do to be a better leader, to be a better Bentoy, to be a better adoptive, to be a better child? And that means, where's it going wrong? And what can I do about it? And is that clock right, by the way?
Yeah,
so I have 2 minutes, right? Okay, so
I've got to wait on that.
So the time to do that is L, of which we have 9x or so days, 10 days left, maybe more. No. Yeah, 9 days. Yeah. Somebody pointed out to me this. You know that the names of the months that we use are Babylonian names; they're not originally Jewish names at all.
Yeah.
And some of them we understand the meaning of. Tishrei means begin. So it's fairly obvious why that month's called that. Many of them we don't really know, and they may have no significance for all we know. But where do we find this word Elul? If you look in Parsha Shlach, in the Targum. Sorry? If you look in Parsha Shlach, the Meraglim are called Me'alelayo. Olal in Aramaic means to search. Elul is a time of search. Search of self. Identifying whichever of these four aspects of myself. What is it? Because of what have I been going wrong? And then what can I do about it? And maybe if we break it up like that, you know, we'll be able to find ways to improve the performance for the next year. And perhaps the improved performance starts with conduct rather than with thoughts and feelings, because conduct's much easier to modify than thoughts, feelings, and perceptions. And as you know from Rambam and from Sefer HaChinuch, if we slightly modify our conduct, it trickles in, and that may help us with that. We should all have a gemesh yor from Atzloch and from Brochum and everything.
Amen.